Hello, this is Anil Kumar and welcome to Back to the Bible radio broadcast with Dr. John Neufeld. Today we revisit Dr. Neufeld's exciting series called Remembering the Reformation with the message entitled The Protestant Reformation. Let us turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 as we go back to the Bible with Dr. John.
What sparked the anger of Martin Luther was the appearance in Wittenberg of a man named John Tetzel, what has been called the Sale of Indulgences. Tetzel was a very powerful preacher, and he made a bold announcement. Right now, he proclaimed, your dead relatives who have gone before you are languishing in purgatory. They're suffering to pay off their sins, but Jesus and the apostles and the saints were far better than they needed to be to get into heaven. And so, if you will, they had left what I call goodness bucks behind. Think of it this way. Imagine it costs 1,000 goodness bucks to get into heaven. Imagine that Jesus earned billions of these goodness bucks and left them unspent. And the apostles and the saints also left unspent goodness bucks behind. And what's more, the church had them stored up. And now, because of an act of grace, the church was ready to sell them off. Tetzel described in great detail the torments of those who are right now languishing in purgatory. If today, he said, your heart moves you, come and buy an indulgence for your dead mother or father and uncle and your aunt. And as soon as the money hits the bottom of the offering box, your dead relative will spring up into heaven. Well, Luther was filled with rage. And a lot of that rage stemmed from his own Bible study. See, when Luther entered a monastery as a young man, his mind and heart was filled with the stories and the terrors of hell. And so he did what the church taught him to do. He fasted and he prayed and he slept without blankets and he afflicted his flesh. And he even wrote, if ever a monk got to heaven by monkery, it was I. Eventually, Luther traveled to Rome and participated in climbing the steps of the Vatican on his knees, leaving them bloody and sore. And when he got to the top, he got a piece of paper expressing his absolution from sins. But his first thought upon receiving that paper was, I wonder if it's so. And eventually, a wonderful opportunity came to his way. In 1511, he was brought to Wittenberg in order to teach. He was given the privilege of studying Scripture, and it was there that everything changed. The change happened in 1514, and that experience has often been called the Tower Experience. He was in the tower room of his Augustinian cloister, where he spent long hours sitting before an open Bible, pondering its contents. He'd been given the task of teaching the book of Psalms and the book of Romans. He was driven to the expression, the righteousness of God, found first in Romans 1:16. See, the church taught that this term always referred to God's justice in punishing sinners and commending the just. But as Luther considered this phrase and found it difficult to understand how this quotation, taken from Habakkuk 2 verse 4, which included the phrase, the just shall live by faith, could in any way speak of God's judgment of sinners. I mean, something didn't fit and was skewing the way in which Romans was being understood. How could Paul call the righteousness of God the gospel or the good news for sinners? I mean, eventually Luther realized that the righteousness of God was an expression that related to Christ's work on the cross, whereby God would regard the sinner as righteous through the meritorious work of Christ on the cross. This meritorious work of Christ declared how God was righteous and how the sinner could find mercy. You know, for some time, Luther had been so overwhelmed by the enormity of his own sin and the righteous character of God. But now in his study of the text in Romans, he saw that he needed to produce no meritorious works on his own to be accepted by God. Rather, God had already produced that meritorious work in his Son, and so the justice of God was satisfied. So in a flash, Luther saw that he would be exonerated before God by faith in Christ alone. See, Romans 3, 23-26 now made it plain how Christ could remove his sin and also God's righteous condemnation and anger in such a way that he could remain just while justifying the ungodly. I hope you understood that, because Luther did, and a tremendous burden was lifted off his heart. He began to experience the joy of fellowship with God without doubting that his sins had been forgiven. See, what Martin Luther learned from this experience can't be understated. The message that sinners are justified by faith recaptured the heart of the message of the ancient church, brought hope and salvation to countless millions of people who might have languished under a religion of works and condemnation. But a second, also important lesson flowed from Luther's tower experience. Luther observed that he had made this remarkable discovery of what Paul was saying in the scripture, see, not by letting some random spiritual thought just well up from inside of him. Luther never said, "I kind of felt like God was saying this to me," but rather, he knew what God was saying as he sought to understand coherently the meaning of the words that he found in the Bible, using the tools of Bible study, paying attention to grammar, context, the history of the text. See, please don't miss this point. The way in which the Protestant evangelical church came into being was as the result of Bible study using historical methods and grammar to understand each text. And that brings me back to John Tetzel and the selling of indulgences. At first, Luther thought if the church only heard what Tetzel was up to, why, Tetzel's going to be in real trouble now. See, only later did he find out that the selling of indulgences and the enormous money that it brought in was paying for the papal palace in Rome. And so we come back to that fateful moment on October 31st, 1517, where one monk, armed with nothing more than his Bible, took on the structure of what had become an unbiblical church. So what were the 95 Theses? Well, they were a demand for the church to rest in Scripture. Consider, for instance, the sixth one. He demanded that the church finally admit that the Pope cannot forgive any guilt or sin except by declaring and showing that it was forgiven by God through Christ. Or consider Numbers 50 and 51, in which he demands that if the Pope wants to build the Basilica of St. Peter, he ought to do so with his own money and stop misleading the people of God. Well, the battle was engaged. Eventually, in order to protect his life, Luther was protected by a powerful German prince, a man named Philip the Wise. Philip hid Luther in his castle in a place called Wartburg. And there was absolutely nothing to do. By God's sovereign design, Luther was bored, and he took out his Greek Bible and began translating the entire New Testament into the common German language of the day, and he published it. The year was 1522 when a Bible was made available to the common people that all could read on their own. No longer were they left with the church telling them what it said. They could read it for themselves. Now, five principles emerged from the Reformation. They have been called the five solas of the Reformation. The word sola is a Latin word. It means only. Now, these five solas are still a part of all churches who have come out of the Reformation. The first is sola fide, or faith alone. If you want to know that your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life, this can only be attained by faith and not the church, not ascetics, not even practicing repentance. Only faith in Christ gains forgiveness. The second sola is solo Christo. Forgiveness does not come from the church. It comes from Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross. The sacraments do not bring the grace of God. Christ alone is able to accomplish this. The third is sola scriptura. The authority over the life of the believer comes from Scripture, an inerrant Bible, and not from the priests. The Pope can make mistakes, but God's word stands fixed forever, and it never changes. The fourth sola is sola gratia, or grace alone. The power to believe comes because of the grace of God. We are not to imagine that faith is something that we produce or another work that we do. Rather, all things come by the grace of God. And finally, the fifth sola, soli Deo gloria, or to God alone belongs the glory. No, the only glory is not the glory of the church, but all glory goes to God and to Him alone. So during this week, in anticipation of the 500th year of the Reformation, I want to recapture the five solas of the Reformation. Join me in this exciting study and have your faith renewed and be overwhelmed that God has not allowed the gospel to be forgotten. Thank God for what He continues to do even in our day.
John, this is the beginning of a great series. Let me ask you the question based upon the title, Remembering the Reformation. Is it important for us to go back and remember those great personalities and Bible teachers in history?
Yeah, it's such a good question because they're individuals who have worked and who have sacrificed and who have built a faith, and we should learn from them. In fact, I think we should celebrate faithfulness because it will, first of all, allow us to learn from them, but it will also give us great and godly heroes. And I think we all need to have those kind of people in our lives. The Reformation is one place where we can find them.
Well, we have much to look forward in the next few days. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, and a way to support the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.